Zealand Vegan Podcast, episode 145. I'm your host, Elizabeth Collins. And as usual, the reason I'm doing a podcast is because I have lots of thoughts and things have happened, and I want to talk about them, and it's just a way of getting the ideas out there. And if people are listening, maybe they can relate, maybe they can, I don't know, feel something, I don't know. So it's really supposed to be, well, it is a positive podcast because finally the street stall is back. And it's myself and Jeff who've been doing it for the last 3 years. If you listen to my last episode, you know, I set up the street stall. It was lots of bits of paper and just sort of rigged up, and it took a lot of work, and it was very tiring because it's very, very windy on Queen Street where we do our street stall. It's like a wind tunnel. And I remember when I used to do it with Will Paul, and he was like, you know, it would be nice if it was nice and clean. And anyway, he was right. I mean, he was right. I just never really had the money or, well, no, that's not true, because when I was working before, I had the money. But anyway, so long story short, we have made the street stall way more easy to set up and break down and manage in the wind. And that's going to make a huge difference, because when you work full time and you are tired on the weekends and blah, 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 it's really exhausting to set the stall up. And then if it's going to rain, it's like millions of bits of paper, and we had to fight the wind all the time. So long story short, we got this beautiful tablecloth made. It did cost money, and we paid for it. So luckily we were able to do that. And it zips up, and it securely sits completely over the table, so we don't have to have our banner, which was very nicely donated to us by someone. But it was such a lot of work to set up, and we screwed these. It was just so shabby, and it was so rickety, and it was so tiring to manage. So, you know, word of advice, if you are in a place like we are, where it's cold and windy and it rains a lot, make it as simple and clean as possible, because you'll get out there more. Like, we're going to get out there more now. I know we are, because it takes less than 5 minutes to set up, and less than that to break down. And we've got pamphlets, we've got vegan starter kits from the International Vegan Association, which is an A4, well, it's probably US letter actually, but it's just a booklet and everything's in it. And we've also got our New Zealand centric, all of the literature that we had in lots and lots of different bits of paper. Like, we had this pamphlet and that pamphlet and this pamphlet and that pamphlet, and it was just, you know, we would just battle the wind all the time. We had bits of elastic that we used to have to wrap around. And I remember a few times, you know, more than once, the wind just, we're talking like mountains of pamphlets flying down Queen Street. And that's money and time folding them up. And so we're going to put together our own vegan starter kit as well, which is a New Zealand-centric one. By New Zealand-centric, I mean it talks about the New Zealand economy, which is unique in the world, I think, in that a vast majority of it is from animal agriculture. I wrote an article about that, which was based on some figures, and it was from 2007, I think, because I've been doing this since 2009, but they're still relevant. I mean, we are a huge animal agriculture country. I mean, we're a little country in the grand scheme of the world. I mean, our population is 4.5 million. We are a tiny little island at the bottom of the world. But unlike other countries, the majority of our income as a nation is animal agriculture. I mean, other countries have heaps of animal agriculture, but they also have mining, and they have weapons, and they have, I don't know, chemicals and steel and I don't know what. I mean, we have, you know, other stuff too, but unique. So, and also the price of things down here, I mean, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, the vegan starter kit from IVA is gorgeous, but a lot of the recipes call for pistachio nuts or maple syrup or things that are really expensive here. So we've made a New Zealand, so for travelers and people from America who come to our street stall, which is really common, we have the IVA starter kit, but we're in the process of putting together our New Zealand one, which talks about the things you can buy in New Zealand and which is cheapest, and it has cheaper recipes with more basic ingredients. And we're going to have those as well. And that's really all we're going to have. We're not going to have millions and millions of pamphlets. We're still going to have our cupcakes. And we have this beautiful tablecloth which doesn't flap around and just zips up. And I'll put a photo of it. So that's the good news. The good news is Street Stall is back. And it's our same sign that I've had going since, because I got this, so Vincent Gehane and Animal Emancipation pamphlets and everything came out like a decade ago or more. And there, one of their posters, which I have on my front door, is Stop Violence, Go Vegan. And that phrase always resonated with me, Stop Violence, Go Vegan. And so I did a hand-painted sign, and that was our sign for yonks. I mean, I'm talking 10 years ago, we had that sign. And then we got it made into a banner, which I said was, like I said, was donated, and it was really hard to rig up. It works great on the tent when we do the festivals, but it was just a little too long for the table. So then Jeff designed a tablecloth that says Stop Violence, Go Vegan. So that's been our thing for the longest time, thanks to Animal Emancipation. Stop Violence, Go Vegan. And when people are like, what do you, you know, mean or whatever, we just bring them over and we say, this is what we mean. You know, you can... When we say stop violence, we mean you can stop being violent to other animals by going vegan. And we explain to people. But so, good news, beautiful street stall, really easy to manage, and we plan to get out there a lot more often. I've graduated from university, the worst is over, I finished, I'm done, I'm free. I just have a 9-to-5 job, or like 8:30 to 6, whatever. But anyway, weekends are free. We have the beautiful Sophie who volunteers to make cupcakes for us. Whenever she can, she does heaps of charity work and she does heaps of baking. So we always make the most of it when we can get cupcakes from her. But if we can't, then I can make them and it's fine. And we're back. And I said we'd be back and I meant it. I can't imagine doing anything else with my life that's meaningful apart from vegan advocacy, and it's so wonderful to have something. And so the thing about the very basic setup with the tablecloth is washable, because like everything was so filthy and shabby, and I don't think people really minded. I mean, I didn't really mind, but we've got this tablecloth that's washable, and then we've just got like two, well, we haven't finished our NZ Vegan starter kit yet, but we've got our IVA starter kits. And when it rains, because it will, it's very easy to just protect everything and not have to abandon camp. Or it's not so intimidating to wake up in the morning and see a cloudy sky and be like, oh, there might be a shower today, because Auckland is very, very unpredictable weather. You can have, there's this famous song by one of our groups here, Crowded House. Well, he's the lead singer's New Zealand anyway. It's called Four Seasons in One Day. And that's literally what it's like. You can have four seasons in one day. Winter, spring, summer, autumn in one day in Auckland. You just don't know what's going to happen. And so, you know, it was very stressful during the stall with this massive setup and all these bits of paper and everything. But now it's going to be... So I think we're going to get out there a lot more often. And that's the good news. And Jeff's really keen, obviously. And we just get out there and do it. But the reason I wanted to share that with everyone. We're back. We're actually done it. It wasn't just talk. You know, we really mean it. The only reason I didn't do it for 2 years is because of university. I needed to secure myself, because this is a very expensive city and blah, blah, blah. I've talked about that before. So I've done it. I've got a job. I am working. I am, you know, it's not, yeah, it's good. So why am I doing a podcast apart from this? Well, as usual, I need to vent, because coincidentally, like a few days before we did our first podcast, our first street stall, our spring comeback, which we've been planning for a while, getting the tablecloth you know, designed and made, and talking about and ordering the pamphlets from the IVA. You just write to them, and you have to answer some questions, and you have to convince them that you're abolitionists and that you know what you're doing and that you're really about animal rights. And once they've figured out that you're the real deal, they will provide you with pamphlets for free, and they deliver them to your door, and you give them away with your conversations. So me and Jeff, we had finally the tablecloth was ready. I know we keep going on about this tablecloth, but it is such a game changer, because it just, we don't have all these signs and stuff to manage. You know, a lot of the signs were really cool. I'm going to miss them, but it was just too much work. It was just too exhausting, and everything got broken and blown away and smashed on the ground. So we got out there, but about a few days before, in Auckland and in Hamilton, it turns out that I knew that Direct Action Everywhere, which is Wayne Soong and a few other people's group. I've done a podcast about them before because Gary Francione interviewed him. Anyway, so they're in New Zealand, and they've been here, and then unfortunately they are now doing their theatrics, is what it is. So coincidentally, before we did our first stall, they, DXE, as they call themselves, Direct Action Everywhere, went into supermarkets in Auckland and in Hamilton, and they blocked access to the meat counters, and they focused on meat, and they had signs saying, "It's not food, it's violence," and then they were chanting. I didn't watch the video. It was the typical DXE stuff. And the reason I'm doing this podcast, people, is to let you know that, you know, when we say, when Gary Francione says, when we abolitionists say, hey, this is actually detrimental, like, we really, it's not that we just don't want to support them because they're not abolitionists, okay, but it's detrimental. And you know how I know? Because I am out there. I haven't been out there for 2.5 years, but I am out there in the streets, and I'm telling you that the effect of this type of actions, as they want to call themselves, action, it is negative. It is negative. You don't have to believe me. But when me and Jeff went out there on Saturday, this, you know, whatever they did, whatever you want to call it, about meat in the supermarkets, where they went into the supermarket and they were chanting at people, and they were standing in front of the meat counter, and they had their slogan, "It's not food, it's violence." Well, we did not, it was our first day back, we were so excited, and we actually had probably one of the worst days we've ever had on the street stall. I mean, I kind of wish Jeff was here. I should have invited him to come and share this conversation with me, and maybe we can get together and talk about it, but I just wanted to share with you, it's not a coincidence. And our slogan, you know, our sign, I almost said slogan, I guess it is a slogan, but what we've been saying at our street stall is "Stop violence, go vegan" for the longest time, and their DXE is like, "It's not food, it's violence." Well, what was I gonna say? How can I get this through to you? Because, well, maybe the people listening are abolitionists and they're like totally down, but just in case you're a random New Zealand vegan who's like, "Oh gosh, there's a podcast in New Zealand about another podcast in New Zealand about veganism," because I'm sure there's others, gosh, let me listen to this, and then you're like, yay, you know, we went into the supermarkets, or woohoo, we're getting out there and vegans are doing stuff and yay. And you don't understand why I don't agree and support it and why I wish they wouldn't do it. It's because it is not a positively effective thing to do. Chanting at people something that has no explanation behind it, doesn't mean anything to them. You don't talk to them. Look, I just want to make a disclaimer. I do not support people going to the supermarket and buying meat. Okay, obviously, I'm vegan. I am an animal rights activist. I want to abolish all animal use, including, but not limited to, meat. Okay? But when you go to the supermarket and there are people there, and they have just got off work, and they are just wanting to do their shopping, and they don't think, they don't, as Gary Francione and Anna Charlton say in their educational everything, consuming animal products is as natural to people as breathing air and drinking water. And you know what? They're right. And you know how I know that? Because I was one of those people. I grew up. It was normal. It was what we did. And when you go to the supermarket and you block people's access to a certain animal product, and you, okay, we're going to split this podcast into two parts. The first part is what I witnessed, what I felt, the atmosphere, the social environment that me and Jeff experienced after this action. And I'm going to also talk about the speciesism and the focus on meat, because, oh my God, the focus on meat. Okay. When you do that and you go to and you chant these things, and these people, you are... So these people are just wanting to do their shopping. Now they can go buy their ice cream unmolested. They are going to buy their milk and their eggs and every single other animal product. But then they've got these people chanting at them, holding signs saying, it's not food, it's violence, in front of the meat counter. And then the Countdown employees are like, please leave. And then as they're leaving, they're chanting, you know, I'm sorry, but it doesn't actually educate people. And the conversation that ensues is really not one that is conducive to animal rights, in my experience. So this happened. It was on the news. Oh, they got a lot of attention. I mean, don't get me wrong. And they'll be like, oh, but we got lots of attention. People are talking about it. Yeah, people are talking about what you did. That's true. That is, I'm not going to deny that people are talking about what you did. But are people talking about the moral personhood of animals? Are people understanding that there is no difference between meat and dairy and eggs and leather and wool? Are people understanding that veganism is for everyone and that animal rights is a coherent thing that we all actually have the value for, that we've had since we were little kids and we loved animals since we were little kids? Do they understand that vegans and veganism is not just for people who wanna make a spectacle and some kind of, I don't know. I had all these ways of trying to explain this, but I can't remember the. It's just becoming so prevalent. And this is nothing new. The animal movement has been doing stunts for decades. Stunts. That's what it is. How are we reaching mom and pop and, our indigenous people and our everyday people by doing these things? How is this? Ask yourselves, how is this effective? Just because you got on the news, it's. The thing is that veganism is becoming more popular and it's becoming more well known, and the philosophy of animal rights, as in the abolitionist approach, because there really is no other that I would call animal rights, it's all speciesism apart from the abolitionist approach, as far as I'm concerned, is out there. So, it's not as bad as it would be without that. So, we are mitigating, or I shouldn't say we, but the abolitionist approach ideas and true animal rights is, it's trying so hard. I mean, it's out there. It's like scrabbling for a foothold, it's like, if you look hard enough, it's there to sort of counterbalance and sort of counteract this theatrics and stunts and counterproductive activity, the animal movement and the people who just want to raise money and be part of a group. I mean, it's there, so it's better than it would be if we weren't there, and if the abolitionist approach wasn't there. I mean, it's that's the only silver lining, but it is so frustrating how much we are undermined. When we did the street stall on Saturday, a few days after this thing, which got on the news and which was in the paper and stuff, man. We're used to, like, it's been a while since I've done the street stall. Our experience has been overall, not over, I mean, overall positive. And look, this was just one day, and it could have just been one of those days, and we sometimes have those days. There's a vibe, and this is like the world we live in. It's almost like there's this like a wind that blows, I don't know. Usually we have people running up and saying, "Oh, I'm interested in veganism. I want to go vegan. What have you got to help me?" And we'd give them recipes and we'd talk to them and we'd say, "Hey, this is what veganism means." On Saturday, after this thing, all we got were, it's so hard to describe the attitudes that we encountered. Like, we had to claw our way out of the hole that these DXers had dug in the social fabric of our city with their meat focused chanting and blockades of people who were just coming home from work and just wanting to just live and just do their thing, which is a very speciesist thing, and I don't support it, but it's so speciesist what the activists were doing, and we had the worst day that we've probably had ever. And it could just be coincidence, but it was just people after people talking about how, okay. You know how the DXers have this, "It's not food, it's violence." And then our sign says, "Stop violence, go vegan." Well, the people who came up just were so confused and so defensive and so shut down and so antagonistic and so aggressive about that word because they didn't have any education from these people. They were, I mean, we didn't have that many people come up, to be honest. We were only there from about 12 till 3:30, and we only spoke to a very small amount of people, handful of people, but they were, a lot of them mentioned this countdown thing. Their focus was on meat more than normal, and it was all this big misunderstanding. And for some reason, I don't know what these activists were telling people, if they were even talking to people, which I don't think they were. I think it's one-way activism. Like I said, you're chanting these meaningless slogans, you're not educating. People were really confused and taking umbrage with this violence. Like, a lot of them, like, were saying, people are not violent because of, they just were really confused about the link between violence and veganism. And we tried to explain, but the defensiveness was crazy, off the hook. Like, they weren't even listening to us. They were coming at us because we have this vegan sign, and those activists were represented as vegans. These meat activists were represented as vegans, these supermarket DXZ-er chanter people. And we were associated with them by default. And it was exhausting and discouraging and demoralizing. But, you know, it was just one day, and we are going to stay out there. And we didn't have our cupcakes. I think that made a big difference. We were going to contact Sophie, but we were scared because the weather was so iffy. I mean, the weather has been really crazy. Spring in Auckland is, only if you live here can you understand, but. And we were like, we're going to get poured on, but let's go out because it's so easy for us to manage the stall that if there's a rain shower, we can just frum everything up. Nothing's going to get wet because we just have one pile of pamphlets. We don't have a million bits of paper. We just have this washable tablecloth. It's fine. But it didn't end up raining, and we totally could have had cupcakes. But we really need our cupcakes, our conversation with cupcakes, you know, to sort of, especially if this kind of thing is going to keep continuing in Auckland or New Zealand, which, I mean, for whatever reason, people into it. I think, I don't, why do people think that you have to be escorted out of a, you know, an establishment, and that's the only way that you're being effective? If you're, I know the mindset, they're like looking at us, and we're talking to people and welcoming people and saying, hey, come and talk to us. We want to hear what you have to say. We know that what they have to say is horrifyingly speciesist, but we want to hear it because that's the only way that we can engage with it. And so they look at us with our cupcakes and our gifts and our smiles, and they say, oh, what sellouts? Oh, they're betraying the animals. Oh, they're not doing activism because, you know, they're not being, you know, escorted out by the police. I guess that's the mindset. I don't understand it. They're misguided. They look at human things. They look at things after slavery ended, for example, when people were shot at with water cannons and the police escorted them off. Me and Jeff talked about that in the last podcast. You don't need to engender that conflict. You need to educate. Engendering conflict is just a spectacle. It's just a way for you to feel, I don't know how to reach them. I give up. They just are, that's what they're going to do. And we just have to deal with the fallout. And that's what it is. We have to deal with the fallout. And it's two steps back, one steps forward, and we're clawing our way out of the hole. But the cupcakes help. So we definitely, like, I don't care if it's storm clouds, baby. I am getting cupcakes. Sophie won't mind. She's the biggest heart, the biggest, most generous, beautiful person. If she makes 2 dozen cupcakes and it rains, I know she'll forgive us. And if she's, you know, busy, I'll make 2 dozen cupcakes. And if it rains, I'll just take them to work. I'll take them to work. And everyone can have vegan cupcakes, and that's education as well, because nobody, you know, people don't realize that you can have cupcakes when you're vegan, and we just need those cupcakes, because now, I mean, DXE is this sort of sick, they're so, I don't know, they really dig what they do. And, oh, look at us, we got on the news, and everyone hated us. Yay, we must be effective, because everyone hates you. Oh no, I know what they're thinking. They're like, oh, we're radical because if everyone is angry at you, and if everyone is telling you to get out of their face, you must be making an impact and you must be being radical. That's not necessarily true, okay? It's about education, okay? We had just such a bad day, and so many people mentioned this thing, and they just didn't even want to hear us. They just blinked us in with them, and we didn't have our cupcakes to like soften the, you know, to soften the thing. And then everyone, yeah, so it was, I was really, and I was actually to the point where I was just like not interested, because it was like they were just trolling. Like, we just got trolled. We got trolled by kids. We got trolled by like 70-year-old women. We got trolled by moldy 50-year-old men. They came at us because we were associated by default with these people on TV who have unfortunately been identified with veganism. And I, as I've said a million times, I so much regret trying to get these people to talk about veganism, because I wish they wouldn't. I wish they wouldn't. I just was, what's the word? I overestimated them, I guess. I don't know. So I'm sorry I'm being so negative, but it was, Jeff can relate. I wish he was here, because he's got, and I kept interrupting him because people were just trying to talk about meat, diet. And Jeff's really knowledgeable about that, and I should have let him engage, but I kept getting frustrated and saying it's not about meat, which brings me on to part two. So one of the biggest problems that we face as vegan advocates is the focus on meat. I do not understand how anyone who calls himself vegan, how anyone who calls themselves an animal advocate, how anyone who says they represent animal rights thinks that the thing to do is to go to the supermarket or anywhere and talk about meat and meat alone and focus on that. It is so detrimental and counterproductive. Leave that to the vegetarians, would ya? The vegetarians are legion. There are billions of vegetarians. Let the vegetarians talk about meat. Obviously, I don't agree with it, but let them do it, because we are supposed to be animal rights advocates, and no self-respecting animal rights advocate should leave any sentient being out of their equation. And when you talk about meat, you leave out the bobby calves, you leave out the animals used for their skin, their fur, their feathers, their entertainment, their experimented upon bodies, their companion suitability breeding pit situation, their imprisonment in zoos and aquariums. You leave it all out and you reinforce this false dichotomy between meat eaters and vegetarians. You bolster the myth in the vegetarian mind that meat is the number one, and that because they don't eat meat, that they are doing something positive for animals. You reinforce the false, false definition of veganism as a diet. You link veganism and vegetarian when they are completely opposite, and you make our job so much harder. So I beg you, please don't do it. I beg you, DXE, go away. Please go away. Of course you're not going to go away, and we just have to deal with it. And we will, and we'll have our cupcakes, and we will we will just smile and say, we are not anything to do with that group. And we have to be careful, because the backlash, which is inevitable, no matter how unequivocal you are, no matter, I mean, you're going to find backlash, and there are going to be people who oppose us for genuine reasons. You know, they really have a vested interest in continuing animal exploitation. They genuinely don't care about animals. They genuinely want to, you know, those are people. But the other people who do care, who are completely, who are affected by this counterproductive advocacy, we can reach them, we can talk to them. But I noticed that me and Jeff, every time we were like, we're not associated with those people, and then and as much as I disagree with them, and I also don't want to feed into, there was some satisfaction, I think, because we were so frustrated, because I was so frustrated on Saturday. I need to be careful. I think I'm out of practice, I guess, but I was so frustrated by the fallout and what we witnessed and what we experienced. It was palpable in the street, I'm telling you. And, you know, please don't misunderstand me. I know that if there is effective change, there's going to be backlash, but I'm telling you, as someone who's been doing this street advocacy for 10 years apart from 2 years off, okay, what's the year, what are we, 2019, right? Okay, fine, it's September 2019, and I started doing my street stall in August 2009, so that's 10 years ago. 10 years ago. But I had 2.5 years off for university, 2 years of university, and then half a year to recover from university. So I know there's defensiveness and I know there's backlash, but I'm just telling you, as someone who's done this for 10 years, that these theatrics, this incoherent attempt, it's almost like they think that they have to irritate people. That's the only way to educate you. If we're not irritating people and making people angry and wanting to kick us out, we're not being effective. You're wrong in this. You're wrong in this. Later, when veganism is really actually impacting in a big way, and there's real backlash, and there's real, and we really have to unite, and we really have to stick to our nonviolence, because I see that coming down the pike, you know, then we deal with our basic education maybe pissing people off. But don't go out of your way to piss off everyday people while they're just exhausted after a day's work, instead of educating them and giving them something they can understand. You know, it's so self-serving. It's so wrong-headed. I really am so sad that this is happening. I really am. I do not like DXE and what they do. for very real reasons, and I have to deal with the effect of it as a vegan advocate who wants to educate people, who wants to promote veganism, who wants to promote animal rights, who is trying so hard and has been trying for 10 years to move the focus away from meat and towards all animal use. So anyway, I guess it's good that me and Jeff and hopefully others in New Zealand are going to get out there and we are going to counter this. And we are going to have to educate people. But they're just creating a little bit of an uphill battle for us. And even more uphill, I should say, than it already is. And so, there you go. But don't worry, everyone. It's going to get better. We're going to have our cupcakes. That's going to make a big difference, I think. We will be able to talk to people with a mouthful of delicious cupcake and say to them, hey, listen, here's the deal. And they will hopefully not have this brick wall that has been put there by these street theater, let's get in people's, you know, let's just annoy people. And we will be able to reach those people and educate people and be there for people who are genuinely interested. And we can try to, I mean, we always do our best to, I mean, we were both frustrated because it was such a different atmosphere from what we were used to. I mean, people directly mentioned this whole countdown thing. But it was me and Jeff, I think, were a little bit on the back foot because it was quite intense. So it was good for us to get out there and deal with that, and we kind of have to chill out and be a bit more I don't even really want to worry. I sort of just want to say to people, hey, look, we do this, and not, because we were kind of like expressing our frustration. And I think that's not helpful. I certainly was, and it was probably rubbing off on. So we're going to just have to do our thing. We'll have our educational things, and we will. But the annoying thing is that because they have this, it's not food, it's violence sign. And then we have our Stop Violence, Go Vegan. And then people are, I'm misunderstanding. And it's annoying to me that they are misusing these and just miseducating and just make, but they will think they were successful because they got on the news and they got in the paper. But I'm telling you, as someone who's out there talking to everyday people in the street, it's an uphill, it's negative. It is a negative what they're doing. It's hard to explain. I don't know if I made any sense. I guess you had to be there. But we are happy because we've got our beautiful stall. It's going to be easy. We're going to get out there a lot more often. Summer is here. Well, spring is here. The winter is over. So happy. So I don't want to be a drag. It's great. Like, everything's going to be great. We're out there again, and we will come back on, and we will have amazing, gorgeous stories, and we will keep doing our thing. I just needed to vent because I've been carrying this around since last Saturday. Well, it's only Monday, is it? Yeah, it's been bothering me. So I'm back with this podcast as well because I'm doing stuff and I'm like, ah. So here we are back again. I really need to do another Spanish episode in Spanish, and I will, because I need to just keep that going. But those of you who are doing abolitionist vegan education, for example, there's a Vegandale festival in Auckland, in New York City, Randall's Island, and it looks fabulous, and they've got the How do I go vegan stall there? And amazing, wonderful experience. And it looks nice. And I'm so happy for them. And there are abolitionists everywhere. And we have to deal with the fallout from the welfareist movement. It's just our lot. It's just the way it is. But stay positive and don't worry. You know, we are making positive change. We are, despite what they're doing. And we will continue to do that. So keep it up, and we will keep it up, and we will talk more about, and we'll share our experiences, all learning experience. I definitely learned a lot on Saturday. I definitely don't want to be that way again. I was not into it. I was negative. So good experience, chalk it up to experience. Get back out there, get the cupcakes going, and get our NZ Vegan starter kit going, because there's some people who come by who are local who need that. And just keep on keeping on. And I will be back with more podcast episodes. And thank you so much for listening. And thank you, everyone, for all you do who are out there doing it. And I'll be back. Bye. I'm not the one who's always right.